Hello, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to our very, very special call today with, can you guys still hear me? I hope so. I am on the road, so I'm calling in from my phone, and that's why you don't see me, guys, but I saw Sarah just came on, too. Laura is amazing. Those of you who know her, who have been involved with her work before, know how amazing Laura is at helping you to communicate better with yourself and with other people, break down the interferences from old traumas, and just really help you get aligned. And I invited her here today to do a special talk for us as a bonus for ERC. And I think that I want you to play all out here. I think that it's going to be an amazing call as long as you are willing to play all out and really participate. Because the beauty of Laura's stuff, the way she works with people, is that everything that she does is she knows how to engage people into really getting a deeper understanding of yourself and some of the ways that you communicate. So I encourage you to participate and to listen and to take Laura's amazing sage wisdom home with you. So without further ado, Laura Fine.
Wow. Thank you, Rita Marie. What an intro. So I've got a high act to follow here. It's always such a pleasure and an honor to do anything with you, Rita Marie. And whenever I have a chance to tune into what you're doing, I just so love always what I'm hearing you do, how holistic it is and how body-mind integrated it is. So it's just my honor to be here with all of you. So
Thank you. It's an honor to have you here.
Thanks. All right. So I would love to start by getting to know you all a little bit and what you are looking for with regards to emotional energy healing, which is kind of the theme of this class today. And also to help us use this as an opportunity to explore that body-mind connection and why and how it is that we get stuck in patterns that we don't like for ourselves, where we know we're not living up to our full potential for whatever reason, where we might be stuck with some kind of chronic illness or pattern, whether it's showing up physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. So this is a chance for us to take a deeper, closer look at all of that and put some pieces together why that might be happening for us. So I'd love to hear from each of you first for a minute about a little bit about what you do, where you're from, what you do, and any chronic pattern that you are struggling with that you'd like to maybe put out on the table for us to, that I can address as a group and or individually. And then we'll do some Q&A. We'll do some experiential work as well. And so we'll have a good time. So I'd love to just ask maybe Paula, it's so good to see you. If you could maybe get us started, that would be great.
Golly. No pressure, right?
I know.
I'm Paula, and I'm in Illinois, North Central Illinois. As far as what I do, learning about health from all aspects seems to be pretty much a full-time occupation for me and has for a while now. I have certainly been working on emotional healing for a very long time, but even more so over these last few years of being in ERC. That's an ongoing journey.
Great, thank you. Yeah, it's emotional healing. The emotional aspects of our healing are an essential, crucial part of it. And so I really love that Rita Marie makes this a priority for what she's teaching in the nutrition work. So thanks, Paula. And if anything more specific comes to mind that you want to share, just feel free to chime back in.
Sure.
Okay. Janet.
Well, Paula's right. We're right on the cutting edge here. Well, I'm retired, basically. Of course, I finished Dr. Rita Marie's class. I'm a practitioner with her and the TEH program with Laura. So I work with her. But continuing education is my thing, because all of my life, and probably all of us, things will bubble up all the time. And there will always be issues to go through and to learn how to handle with at least more grace, if not actually finding out what the root cause is. So I'm always happy to learn more and to review. Thank you.
Great. And is there any specific pattern that you're aware of that you could share with us that you might be working on more specifically?
Oh, I always feel like I'm not good enough. Mm. I am not good enough, and I have so many things I need to learn so I can be good enough to help myself and my family and others more. Mm-hmm. Just not good enough.
Yeah. So you're getting some head nods there. So there's probably others of you who can relate to that statement, to that feeling, to that sentiment. I'm not good enough. No matter how many letters I get after my name, I'm still not good enough or confident enough to really be sure and clear that I'm helping other people. And of course, this tracks back into our, for most of us, into our childhood and into subconscious deep patterns and beliefs that we hold that are imprinted from our early, early childhood. So thanks for naming that for us, Janet. Okay, Angelica.
If you could come back to me, it's a little loud where I am.
Sure, we can do that. Okay, Diana.
I'm Diana, and I live in this mountain in central Idaho. I'm very retired. I've actually been retired on disability for about 30 years. So health has been a big priority in my life. It kind of led me to a path of learning about herbs, because the medical profession wasn't helping me much. At first it was nutrition, and then I started learning about herbs. Now I do a lot of making my own plant medicines. I have a very small farmer's market in our little tiny town up in the mountains, and I've been selling some of my creations there for a few years. And I'm continuing working on emotional healing also from many childhood wounds, apparently, that I thought I dealt with long ago, but they've bubbled to the surface. I guess I had become very patterned with suppressing them. But I'm learning new things about myself since starting Dr. Rita Marie's program, thanks to your stuff that we've done before and Kimberly Ward and her ACEs thing. And it's been a journey. I'm still working on it. I'm working on it every day. I'm kind of like Janet. I'm going to be a lifelong learner. I'll never stop learning. And I also have the same problem with always feeling like I'm not good enough. That's definitely from the childhood. Right. I'm sure. If somebody convinced me I was worthless at a very young age, that I'd never be worth anything. And that's still one I'm working on.
Yeah. So
that's a big one.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that, Diana. It's amazing how those imprints from early childhood are so familiar for us. They're so sort of programmed in. But the good news is, with the energy work, we really can begin to shift that, that it's just a cellular memory that we can replace, that we can discharge, release, replace. And that's part of what we're learning in the Transpersonal Energy Healing Program here. So thanks, Diana, for bringing that up. And I'm going to address that more in a little bit. Okay. Sarah.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Sarah, and I live in Thunderbolt, Georgia. And I'm an artist. And one of my, something that I'm, it's been experiencing for a couple of years now, is a frozen shoulder that doesn't seem to be changing in the last maybe 9 months. But also I've done a whole lot of emotional healing over the years with various people, and I'm still like Janet, like everybody, I'm interested in being a student for life, but I'm also very interested in this whole idea of the patterns and how they're not only in my field, they're in my body, you know, and it's not that I'm interested in not doing the work, right? But I'm very interested in, can I let go of this faster? And anytime any of these beautiful coaches mention your work or talk me through it, I have the most amazing results.
Great. I'm so glad. And the answer is yes, you can work through it faster. But what I will also say is everything does have its timing, its natural timing. And yes. So I had a student say once something I never forgot. He said, you can't shout a flower into blooming. But what we do want to do, right, is water it, feed it, not overwater it, not underwater it, make sure it's got fertilizer. So that's the process of what we are doing. It took a while for those patterns to get there, and they certainly can be turned around in so many ways. And I love that you have this very sort of concrete situation with the frozen shoulder, because I find there's so much emotional component that's connected to a frozen shoulder, to a frozen, frozen movement in some way in our physiology. So we might be able to come back and do a little bit more specific exploration of that too. So thank you, Sarah, for that.
Thank you. That'd be interesting.
Yeah. And who's next to you there?
Hi, I'm Joseph.
Hi, Joseph.
Retired from firefighting, and I work on the docks.
Oh.
And just got a big wake-up call. Had a pontoon stroke last week, and so I need all kind of healing.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that. And that's a little scary to have that happen. And I'm glad that you are here resting. It's incredible that you are a firefighter and you work on the docks. It's very physically strenuous stuff. So your body's giving you some feedback about all of that right now. So we'll get to pay attention to that. So thanks for sharing that, Joseph. Okay, Susanna.
Hi, I'm Susanna and I'm from Austin, Texas. I am a retired special ed teacher and I've been a musician most of my life and I do continue to do that. And in my retirement age, so I'm kind of half retired. I would say that there were two themes kind of from the beginning with me. I had a rough start in life. I'm an adoptee from that era of shame and, a lot of pressure on the birth mothers. And I think that definitely transferred to me. And for a long time, I had, a fear of abandonment. Mm-hmm. And that has gotten a whole lot better. It cropped up again when our children were 5 and 7, my husband came down with the diagnosis of AML leukemia. It was real scary, nearly died multiple times. Had bone marrow transplant, is still alive today. So that was miraculous. I know that you know about medical miracles. Over the years, I've come to know that I should have no fear of abandonment, because I have people, multi-generational people who will be there for me. So that one has quieted down pretty much. I would say how a lot of that physically manifested, and it manifested immediately, was in poor digestion. Mm. Really, really hard to find something that I could tolerate. And, it was probably pretty hard on my poor adopted mother to get me to feed and not feel bad. And even to this day, although much progress has been made, I have a lot of trouble absorbing certain things. Not everything. Some things I seem to absorb well. Magnesium is not one of them. I'm like the kid who can't get enough magnesium or absorb it. But again, a lot of progress has been made on this, but that seemed to be with me from the beginning.
Yeah, interesting, huh? Mm-hmm. How deep and how far back so many of these patterns can go. So good for you for all of this work that you are and have done on yourself. So thank you, Susanna. Linda Beard, let's jump up to you.
I was actually just coming to kind of be a witness to everybody else here. I wasn't expecting to share, but so this last weekend, my son was married, and today I was doing some reflective work, and actually one of the things that came up is a similar theme here of the not enough. And because I at one point had this feeling I just wanted to stand up and shout what an amazing family I have, and I feel almost just like fierce about it. But some of that fierceness comes from that I'm not good enough, that I have to it's like I have to push in people's faces, see my family, aren't they wonderful? Because deep inside, I don't feel that way about myself, that I'm not good enough. And so.
You know, you're bringing up such a great point that I love so much. I just want to remark on it for a moment, because like so many people who are in a healing process, that fierceness that's showing up in you that wants to just shout, you know, hey, look at how amazing. It's kind of like, you know, when we start on our healing journey, like those reformed smokers, like, keep me 1,000 miles away from anybody who's smoking a cigarette. You know, they're like really adamant. And it's the pendulum kind of needs to swing the other way for a little while. So, girlfriend, you have all of my carte blanche to go ahead and be fierce, whether it's coming from that old pattern or not. It's a great pendulum swing for most of us who have been holding back from our power, from our confidence, from all of that. So I love hearing you say that, actually. That's great.
Okay. Well, it's so good to acknowledge it.
Good. Thank you. Okay, other Lynn Lowe.
You, so it's nice to meet you. Oh, did I? Oh, okay. Did you hear that?
I think so. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, great. And geez, where do I start? That is such a universal thing. I'm not good enough, you know, not being enough. I consider myself a very positive person. I really try to be positive. One of the worst things is I hate being depressed or sad, and I work hard to get out of that, you know. But it's not that I don't experience it. I would say I'm a neuromuscular therapist. I'm a therapist, and that's definitely my gift, my body work, and I fuse it with a bunch of different things. And I'm definitely a lifelong learner. But I seem to have this, I'm also very busy. And I seem to have this problem of I don't seem to have enough time, and I keep working at it, and I seem to have a problem with, well, I've had this emotional eating, like addiction problem for many years, and I've healed a great deal of it, but it still comes up. And part of it is finding the time to make my meals, you know, consistently. It's not that I don't make my meals, it's consistently. And once again, I'm starting again, and this time I'm trying to put things in place. Like I actually called a friend who's a vegan, you know, she's a coach. And I said, let's do a trade. She's my neighbor, you know, and I said, let's do a trade. I want you to look at my food once a week. And just let's discuss it. Let let me tell you what I've been doing. I already have amazing health coaches. I don't really need a lot of advice because there's Dr. Andrea has given me tons of advice, right? And Lynn. So I have enough to catch up with and do. But to just have someone that I can say, look at my food journal, this is what I'm doing, and you know, I'll give you 20 minutes of reflexology or something. I just called her today because I just know that, you know, when I'm working and I work late and I'm leaving and they have a rice and chicken, I might just easily do that because I want to do other things when I get home. You know, so I've got to figure out how I'm going to create the time to have better meals, you know?
Yeah, well, I love that you reached out for help and support around that. And I think this is one of the key components for healing, is that many of us hold a lot of shame around our patterns and our issues and our limitations. And one of the most expedient ways to facilitate the healing of that is to reach out for support around it. So, and you sound so clear on exactly what you need and the parameters around that. So good for you, Lynn.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate because I feel like, you know, I have so much more to do but my energy needs to be higher. And the way that my energy would be higher is if I'm eating better, because my eating is my weakest link, you know, mm-hmm. I believe. Maybe I'm sure there have other weak links.
Well, I think what's good is to start with whatever is up for us right in the moment, which is where you're starting. So good for you. Thank you, Lynn. Okay, Judy.
Hi, I came in a tad late, so what do you want to know here?
Yeah, we're just sharing a little bit about chronic issue, and like predominantly could be an emotional issue pattern that we're not happy with, that we want to feel that we can change. It could be a physical chronic issue, but we're looking at the body-mind connection of that. So anything like that that you can share?
Okay, well, I've been more or less out of work and disabled. I've got lymphedema in my legs for the last 3 or 4 years. And I've got to get back to working and finding a job, and I'm having a real, the cat's going to help me here. Oh, great. Come on, baby. I'm having an interesting time and looking at jobs online and going to apply for them and going, oh, they're not going to want me for that, or I don't have everything on their list. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That adoptee stuff going on too, I know. I've made contact with birth family and stuff years ago and still have contact with them. But the not good enough stuff is really hitting me hard right now.
Boy, we've really got that theme going strong tonight. So I'm going to address that in just a couple minutes. So thank you, Judy, for sharing that. Okay. And Angelica, did you have any other thoughts that you wanted to toss in now?
Okay. Yeah, I moved to a quieter space. Well, I mean, I've been doing Laura Fine's work for over a year because I work with one of her trained practitioners. And I'm in her practitioner training program as well. And I'm just always coming back because it doesn't matter how many times I've heard the concepts or done the method. I just always, there's always more to that comes up for healing. So yeah, just continuously working on myself and pleasantly surprised that there's things that I wasn't aware of.
Okay, thank you, Angelica. All right, Rita Marie, before we launch in a little bit deeper, is there anything more that you want to share or say?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just barely been touched listening to the not good enough theme, and I just want to make a confession that plays for me as well, and it plays for me a lot, and my logical mind says, well, look at all you've done, look at all you know. But there's this emotional, whatever it is that happened early on that said to me, you're not good enough. And so I work hard at being good enough. So there you have it. My secrets are out on the table too.
Thank you, Rita Marie. You know, it's interesting because we are, so many of us will take a belief like that, I'm not good enough, and think that we're the only one, and think that we're really deficient in some capacity. But in actuality, these are all learned beliefs. They are not natural to us, to our, what I call, essential self, to the true essential, vibrant, creative being that we are. So Judy, you gave us also some great examples, like there's a part of you that wants to get a job, but that the voice comes in and says, yeah, but you don't have everything on the list, or you can't quite do this, or you can't quite do that. And all of these limitations are learned pattern beliefs from our childhood growing up. And so what we want to begin to do is understand and cultivate a stronger identification with our true essential self, our unlimited self, and get to know what that is, because I don't know about you, but nobody taught me about that in school or in my family of origin growing up. In fact, most of us were taught the opposite, that we weren't good enough in some capacity or another. And so those pattern beliefs, the reason we rub up against them, so even though our intellect knows better, even though our intellect says, even like Rita Marie, I mean, can you believe, like, how much more knowledge could the woman hold in her brain? And but it's not logical, right? It's not a rational experience. It's on the irrational level, the emotional level that she's naming and that we are all talking about here. So what we have to do is we have to bridge that gap. We have to find out what's the disconnect between our beliefs here in our mind and the actual truth of our essential self and that experience. And how do we cross that gap? How do we bridge that gap? And I'm going to tell you something that's going to seem maybe obvious, and so obvious that we discount the potency of it. But what in actuality is going on is it's not about a conceptual belief. It's about a sensation that we are not used to experiencing in our body. A sensation of aliveness, a sensation of potency, a sensation of vibrancy, a sensation of creativity. And when we come close to feeling that, for many of us, when we were children or growing up, we were shamed for feeling our potency. We were shamed for feeling our aliveness. We were humiliated for feeling our essential self. And because of that, when we get close to feeling that degree of aliveness, there's a knee-jerk, what I call adaptation, that comes in. And that adaptation can be in the form of a belief, I'm not good enough, or it can be in the form of a disconnection from the other person that we want to be maybe closer to or intimate with, or a disassociation from our true essential self. Some limitation comes in that is not true, that is simply learned, because this sensation that our physiology is starting to experience is so programmed in as being dangerous, when that's really not true. It's just a sensation that we're not used to. So how is that landing so far? Is that making sense to everybody? Okay, so we're gonna try something. I wanna try a little something with this right now so we can get a sense of what that means. And what I'd like to do is give us just a little bit of some energy, what I call energy movements, to open up our chakra system. And have all of you heard of, is there anybody who hasn't heard of the chakras? Anybody who that's like a brand new term for? Okay, so it looks like everybody has some familiarity with that word. So let me just say just a little bit about it, and you may already know all of this, and that's fine, but just as a reminder then, our chakras are energy centers in our physiology. And those energy centers are the base upon which all of our physical organs sit. So for example, the chakra at the root, we have seven primary chakras. We have the root chakra, which is at the base of the spine. And on the base of the spine sits certain organs in that area, like the prostate and the lower bowel, the intestines, right? And then we go up to the second chakra, sometimes called the sacral chakra. And all of our sex organs sit on that sacral chakra, right? The small intestine or the higher intestine, the kidneys, the liver. Well, the liver actually and the kidneys probably go more into the third chakra. So each, whatever area of the physical body you're in is governed by the chakra that lives in that area. And the chakras are like radio transmitters, but different from radio transmitters in that radio transmitters only send signals out. But our chakras both send signals out and receive energy in. So there's a back and forth that happens. So when we're with somebody who we like the feeling of their energy, you know, oh, that person has good energy, or that person has scary energy, or that person's energy is really intense. We're responding to energy all the time. We have energy language like, oh, that person has a black cloud over their head, or that person is red with rage or green with envy. So these are the colors of the system, of the energy system that we're actually describing that occur for us around the energy of the chakra system. So when we start to bring our chakras are into movement, we start to open them to sensation. So for example, those of you who might have a physical disability or who have had problems being in your physical body, we're getting a lot of echo for some reason all of a sudden. Can you all make sure you're on mute for the time being? The chakras, when we start to move the energy through the chakras, we start to experience some of this sensation of aliveness. And those of you who are really strong left brainers, who are really scientific and medical, and you might feel a little bit more challenged because this is where we're gonna go more into right brain activity and movement. So I'd like to just ask you all to stand up for a minute. And we're going to do a little bit of movement of the chakras. And I want you to start just by walking in place, just walking in place. And as you do that, I want you to step harder and harder onto the ground. Make sure you bend your knees. If you have any physical limitations, of course, be careful. Don't do anything that could hurt you. If you can't stand comfortably to do this, you can do this sitting. Just move your feet up and down on the floor like that and try to really feel the bottoms of your feet in contact with the floor. And as you do that, I want you to say, I'm here. And I want you to touch yourself and say it. I'm here. Say it out loud. You're on mute, so nobody's going to hear you. You can hear me. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. And now as you do that, I want you to look at yourself. So you're not just saying it, but you're looking and you're saying, I'm here. I'm here in this body. I live in this body. I'm here. This is the house that I live in. I'm here. I'm here. Say it out loud, really loud. I'm here. This is your root chakra. You're opening up your root chakra. Now I want you to just vibrate your body. Just bring it into just a vibrating, a shaking up and down a little bit. And breathing deeply. And now as you're shaking, slow that down, that shaking down, and make it more subtle and more subtle and more subtle. And close your eyes and just feel the vibration now on the inside of your body. And you're going to just say now silently to yourself, I'm here. I'm here. Okay, So I'd love to just get some feedback about what that felt like for a minute. How was that to just do that movement of the root chakra in your system? What did you notice? What did that feel like? Any comments?
It was energizing.
Okay, energizing, good. Anything else that you noticed?
It always helps me get out of my head. I realize that it's so easy to just kind of fall asleep in my body, working from a desk or on screens all day, so.
Good, very good, yeah. It is, it's energizing. It lets us be in our body, remember that we have a body. Something really important, when I had you say, I'm here, and touch yourself, right? And tap this thing, I'm here, and I live in here. I am not the body, I live in the body. So just like you live in a house, but you are not the house. You live in the house. Your emotions live in this house, but you are not your emotions. And you are not your beliefs. You are not the one who says, I'm not good enough. That is a belief that lives in the house of your mental constructs. So you are not the body. Anything that belongs to you, anything that is mine, this is my scarf. These are my glasses. This is my hair. Anything that belongs to me cannot be me. It's mine, it's not me. Does it make making sense? These are my emotions, my feelings, my beliefs. They are not me. So we are so identified with the things that are not us that this is half of what gets us into trouble. So now let's try something else. Close your eyes, take a deep breath, and put your hands over your heart center. Just place your hands over your heart center. And I know that you all know about heart math from Reed Marie in a really big, beautiful way. And she was just talking about it the other night on the call about the Lyme's disease, which I loved hearing. I didn't catch much of it, but so crucially important. So here we are over our heart. And I want you just to close your eyes and breathe for a minute. And who you truly are, is this energy of aliveness, is the soul. And I think that most of us can believe or share some beliefs, some common beliefs, that when the soul leaves the body dies. And the soul cannot be killed. Just like energy cannot be created or destroyed, it can only transmute to another form, right? So this is the law of physics even tells us this. So your soul cannot die. It lives or resides in here, but this is what you are. This is your essential self. You are not your beliefs. You are not this body. You are not even your emotional feelings. You are this eternal soul that can only transmute from one form to another. So if we really think deeply about it, then there can be no tragedy, because you cannot die. You can only transmute to another form, whatever that might be. Now, I don't want to encroach on anybody's beliefs, but if you just allow yourself to entertain that idea for a minute, and as you touch into this heart center of yours and breathe, see if you can notice the sensation of touching into your true essential self, your soul. We're just going to sit with that for about another 30 seconds. And when you feel ready, you can open your eyes. Okay, any comments about that or sharing about that? How are you feeling right now?
Very calm.
Calm. Okay. Nice response. I'm noticing some like little smiles around. So there, oftentimes it brings us into a place of peace just to drop in for a minute, just to connect in for a minute. So what's our greatest underlying fear, right, is fear, well, I was going to say fear of death, but I would actually say fear of suffering. I think fear of suffering for many of us, even more so than death. But when we stay in present time, I don't want to sidetrack too much. Let me come back to this. So when we connect to our essential self, when we connect to what we truly are, there's an interesting physiological, visceral, experiential response that begins to occur. And this is what most of us did not grow up experiencing, did not get taught how to do. How do I cultivate this in myself? For some of us who have spiritual practices or religious practices, we may have that as a resource, which is wonderful. But this is what's really important for us around our own healing so that we can have some perspective about how we balance our body mind with our beliefs. So let's do something a little bit more with this for just a couple minutes now. I want you to think about, so all of you shared with me a chronic issue that you're sort of working with, whether it's the feelings of not good enough, whether it's some other pattern that you have, an impatience with yourself or a fear of abandonment was talked about, habits or patterns, not being able to absorb your food or have a healthy absorption, suppressing emotions. So when you think about that chronic issue that you have, I'd like you to just try something for me for a minute right now. Just let your hands move in front of you in space. Just kind of move around arbitrarily in space, wherever they want to go. Just let them both move. And as you let your hands and arms move in front of you, let them move faster. Now let them move really fast, really fast. And fast, 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 fast. And now let your hands go to where this chronic tension or problem or issue lives in your body. Put your hands there right now. Don't worry if you're right or wrong. Wherever they went to, just hold that place in your body. And close your eyes and take a breath. And I want you just to feel the tissue, whatever it feels like in that area. With your fingertips, just palpate the tissue of whatever you're touching, whatever part of your body you're touching. And I want you to now just go ahead and stop, leave your hands there wherever they are. And I want you to ask your body, if this tissue had an emotion, what would it be? And I'm gonna name four basic emotions and just pick one: happy, mad, sad, or scared. Which one is it? Happy, mad, sad, or scared? If this tissue had an emotion, which one would it be? Happy, mad, sad, or scared? Most emotions fall into one of those four categories. Okay, so I'd love to hear what somebody experienced. If someone would like to share, what did you experience that lives in that tissue there?
Mine was very sad.
Okay, and where did your hands go?
Third chakra.
Okay, so for you it was sadness and it was the solar plexus chakra. Thank you, Janet. Somebody else?
I also had sad and my hands were around the navel area.
Okay, thank you, Susanna. Sad and around the navel area. Okay, good. Sarah, did you want to jump in with something?
Mm-hmm. At first I thought it was mad. I had my hands on my shoulders, but then what was underneath that really was sad.
Your shoulder, and it was sad. Okay. Okay. Anybody else want to? And was also scared?
It's like all.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had mine, like both my hands went. and I wasn't even sure if it, I just went there. I mean, I thought, am I just making this up? Or anyway, one went to my heart and one went to my solar plexus, so right underneath. And I guess it was sad.
Okay, great. All right, so I love how clear you all are. And what I'd like you to do to notice right now is put your hands back on that same area. And go ahead and touch that area and just notice that this is what sad tissue feels like, or scared tissue, or whatever you chose, happy tissue. This is what sad tissue feels like. So with your fingertips, you're just palpating and getting to know the grief that still lives in the tissue. And I want you to close your eyes again for a minute. And I want you just to visualize that sadness releasing. You don't have to try to force tears to happen or anything like that. I want you just to imagine whatever it looks like for you. You're visualizing that sadness releasing out of your tissue in some very creative way. Like you're watching a movie. And as you do that, I want you to breathe deeply. Breathing deeply. Watching the movie of this emotion that lives in your tissue, releasing out of the tissue. Breathing deeply. And now I want you to take your hands and right over that tissue that you were touching into, if you were feeling sad, I want you to just stroke that area. Just stroke it. Just the way you would stroke a cat. Or the way Judy's been stroking her cat, right? Just stroking your own tissue with that kind of love and tenderness. And just silently say to yourself, it's okay to feel sad. It's okay to feel sad. It's okay to feel sad. And if your tissue was scared, then I want you to rock yourself. Just rock yourself, just like you would rock a little baby, side to side. And I want you to say, tell that tissue, you're safe. You're safe. You're safe. We're rocking and we're telling the tissue, you're safe. And then when you're ready, you can bring that to a stillness. Did anybody have another emotion besides sad or scared? Okay. So what did you notice just from doing that much?
I felt
You felt what, Diana?
Some release.
Some release.
Yeah.
Ah, interesting. Some release of tension.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very hard in that area, and now it's softened up.
Amazing, huh? How quickly the tissue responds. And in such a short amount of time, just from acknowledgement of it and connection to it and taking the time to drop in and sense it. Beautiful. Thank you, Diana.
It reminds me a little of Gestalt therapy and just, you know, comforting yourself as you would, like you comforting as if you were a child and you're like the adult comforting yourself. And just, as you say, just witnessing it calms it.
That's exactly right. And that's exactly right, Lynn, that's exactly what we are doing. But most of us, when we become adults, we devalidate the importance of the necessity of self-comfort, self-acknowledgement, self-recognition, self-validation of the experiences of our emotional life. In our Western culture especially, we've been so taught, and even more so for men generically or stereotypically than women, to just tuck our emotions aside. They're just sort of, you know, distractions. They're not, you know, they're not particularly useful. Even, you know, when you said, I don't know if I'm making this up, the amazing and extraordinary thing is I tend to trust what the mind makes up when we do this kind of work, because it's not by accident that these images or these sensations come. But we have so learned to discount the wisdom of our emotional energy. We've so not been taught how to work with it, how to make it productive, and how to use it as a form of healing for ourselves. So you're absolutely right. This is a form of gestalt of reparenting our tissue in a way it never got appropriately nurtured or tended to or parented.
Reparenting our tissue. That's so beautiful. I remember that.
Well, and especially you as this beautiful neuromuscular therapist. I mean, this is the work you're doing with your clients all day. So as you incorporate their emotional life into this, this is a whole nother level that you can bring of healing to your clients that's absolutely so needed, as you well know. I'm sure your clients are crying on the table all the time under your hands.
Yeah. Actually, what's funny today is I had a friend of mine who is a craniosacral therapist, and I just do a very little bit of craniosacral therapy, but I love energy work too. If ever I'm doing any deep tissue work or a lot of stretching and I feel the area is vulnerable, I tend to hold it. And boy, I tell you, sometimes that's almost more powerful. It's really incredible.
I love that you said that.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, no, that's exactly right. I mean, and that's exactly right. Hold that area. Yeah. And your instinct is so right on, because that's what it needs. It needs acknowledgement. It needs validation, and not a discounting. I'm not good enough is a form of discounting our own emotional need. So thank you for sharing that, Lynn. Anybody else from that little experience of what happened for you? And Jay and Sandra, I know that you both just joined us not too long ago, so I didn't get to meet you yet, but we are just kind of doing some experiential work right now. Is there anything, can you share a little bit about what brings you and where you're from, Sandra?
Hello. Well, why do I come to this particular meeting?
Yes.
I hear Dr. Rita Marie talk about you all the time. I attended a meeting last year that you did, or part of a meeting, I think it was. Again, I didn't do the whole thing. So, I'm always intrigued about energy work. Mm-hmm. I think it holds the key to many, many answers to many things.
Yes. Well, thank you for joining us, Sandra. You're and Jay, welcome. I didn't get to meet you yet either. Do you want to introduce yourself for a moment?
He says he has no video or audio. He wanted to
hear it again. Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. Any other comments or reactions to that little exercise?
Well, I thought I would share even before you, because my kind of like Janet, at first mine was mad. And then I realized actually underneath that was I was scared. And so, and mine was also in my neck and shoulder. And actually what I realized it was from was some physical abuse in that area. But even before you start, when you suggested it, I was already doing the rocking thing.
Mm.
And it was very soothing. So thank you.
You're so welcome. And thank you too. And I'm so glad you listened to that instinct, right? To that natural impulse of rocking. You know, it's so important to allow ourselves to self-nurture in ways that we have not. Okay, so I'd love to just open it up for any questions now. Any questions about any of this? And if not, I'd be happy to do a demo if that's something that would be of interest to people. Okay, so I'm getting some head nods. Now, who would like to be volunteer to be the demo? Okay, Lynn, you stuck your hand up pretty quick there. So let's go ahead and work with you for a few minutes. So what I'm going to do with Lynn, just so you all know, is I'm going to do a little bit of work with tracking the energy. So we'll work with we can work with the issue that you brought, or if there's something else that has come up to your mind. I knew you talked about eating addiction, but what would you like to use this time to focus on?
There's one that's more vulnerable that I'm not sure if I want to say it really out loud, but maybe that would be a good one to do if I'm really being raw. And it's my libido being really low.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep feeling like if I did my food really well, then I could heal that because I have photos. But it's not like I have horrific Hashimoto's. I mean, I have Hashimoto's, but it's not, I still have quite a bit of energy.
Yeah. Yes,
lulls, but.
So you said that what feels really vulnerable for you is this issue around your libido being low. And I'm wondering as you, what's that?
It's definitely a sadness about that because it never used to be an issue before.
Yeah, so there's sadness, and I hear it in your voice as you say that. Tell me about the sadness. How do you notice that sadness when you say that you have sadness? Where does it live in your body?
I guess my heart again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like my sternum area.
Yeah, so your sternum, your heart, yeah. How long have you noticed that feeling in your sternum and heart area? That feeling of sadness?
I'll just say 5 years. That just popped up.
Uh-huh. So when you think back 5 years ago, like before that, you never really had this feeling of sadness in your heart, sternum area. Is that right?
No, I've had that before.
Okay. How far back can you track it?
How far back can I track sadness?
Well, you spoke about it in your sternum and heart area. And so it might be a different kind of sensation. I don't know. I mean, but when you think about this quality of feeling of sadness that comes up around the theme of your libido and it's in your heart and sternum area, does it go back any further than 5 years for you?
Okay, if I think of the theme of the libido, mm-hmm. Probably not.
Okay.
other things I've been sad about, no question.
Okay. So for some reason, 5 years comes up for you around this. And can you say a little bit about what was going on for you in your life 5 years ago?
That was around the time I got Hashimoto's, I guess.
Oh, interesting. So it was about the time you got Hashimoto's, and what was going on in your life with the, you know, you got Hashimoto's, what else was happening in your life?
I don't know. I mean, I was training for a triathlon.
Mm-hmm.
And realized I was also going to study with a teacher of mine, and I realized I couldn't do both, and I was very sad about that.
I mean,
doing the triathlon was optional, and but I really wanted to study well to, because I was going to apprentice with a teacher, and I had to let go of the triathlon, and in order to have the energy to come home after work, to come home and study. And I felt really disappointed in myself about that.
Yeah, boy, I really hear that. So there was this big disappointment in yourself because you didn't have the energy to do both. You didn't have the energy to do both the triathlon and study the way that you wanted and needed to apprentice with this teacher.
I'm actually very surprised that I just cried a little there. I was like,
yeah.
And when it also comes, another disappointment comes up. I think my biggest disappointment in myself is how I was so excited about going to university when I went to university, but I was so highly compulsive with food. Like really compulsive with food. And I really used to beat myself up. And I had struggles. I never used to have problems writing papers. And then I really had problems writing papers. Once I handed them in, I would get A's, but I would give birth before I handed them in. And it became, I lost the joy of university, and it just broke my heart. And it's something I still have a hard time forgiving myself about.
Wow.
And it drives me crazy because this was so many years ago, you know. Yeah. So when it comes up, I just have to say, okay, that's one of my stories. Let it go. Just do as well as you can in this life and move on. But I have such a sadness about that.
Yeah, boy, I really hear it, Lynn. And I really hear this theme of disappointment. You know, of sadness, of disappointment, you know, that how much effort you would put into writing a paper. You were so excited about university, and so much sadness and grief and disappointment come up around this for you. Such a high drive to want to give your all. And then the compulsive eating showed up as a way to kind of, you know, manage some of the stress of what you were going through, it sounds like. Have I got that right? Am I
tracking? Yeah, probably. Probably. I mean, I had expected I would do my PhD, and there's definitely, I mean, I didn't even do great with my BA, you know, so I just felt like, I guess I felt like I was just stupid. Something was wrong.
Wow. Ouch, huh? Yeah. What's happening just saying it out loud to us? What are you noticing from saying it out loud?
Sadness.
Yeah. So much sadness. Yeah.
And also pissed off. You know, I'm angry that I'm still have a charge about it. And it happened so many years ago. Space in my spirit. It pisses me right off, you know.
You know, it's so touching to me to hear this grief that you've been carrying and to see your vulnerability and your willingness to share it with us. And then there's, as you talk about it, then there's such an ouch that I feel that comes on top of that. Like, oh, I'm so mad that I'm still feeling like this. What, you know, I can't imagine you talking to a client like that.
No.
No.
So loving with my clients.
I bet you are.
Yeah, my clients.
You are. Yeah, but you are really pounding away on you. How'd you learn how to do that? That's not you. Because you're not like that with your clients. So how'd you learn how to pound away on yourself?
Yeah, just, you know, my father and my the dynamics of my father and my mom. And
okay.
My mom.
So, hi, Dad. This is not me. This is you. Yeah. Or, hi, Mom, right? This is not me. This is you, Mom, or this is you, Dad. But the sensation of the story is still alive in you, and it's not quite complete. But much to your surprise and, you know, ours today, a lot of emotion got to go into movement just now in a beautiful way. And I'm just wondering if you can take a moment to just notice what your system feels like right now, what your breath is like from having expressed that, from letting that energy be in movement. If you can take away the judgment for a minute and put it on the shelf over here for just a minute and notice what your physiology feels like from having let yourself cry and breathe and feel those feelings.
What do you think? My sternum feels like it's shaky.
Uh-huh.
But in a way that's good because I've just, you know, shaken it up, I guess.
Yeah, well that vibration, that shaky, is the vibration of energy and movement. So you are actually feeling the energy and movement in a very healing way. So I love that you're feeling that. And I love that there's a visceral healing response that happened for you as a result of your willingness to do that. So this might be a good stopping place for now. I mean, I think you just did such a beautiful little piece of work here and so potent. And I think it's so important that one of the things that we have to learn how to work with, all of us, is our self-judgmental mind. Because that self-judgmental mind that comes in and it can stop us from processing. It judges our process. One of the things that, you know, those of you who have been in relationships for a long time, if you're married or if you've been in a relationship with somebody for a long time, and you've heard your spouse or your partner or your friend tell the same story over and over and over again, right? Like you go to a party and you go, oh God, no, they're going to tell that story again. Oh, I've heard it 50 million times, right? But in actuality, why do we retell our stories? We retell our stories because we're not done with them. And what does that mean? It means we haven't fully allowed ourselves to fully feel all the emotional aliveness that's still living in the tissue of our system. And what happened just now for you, Lynn, was as a result of letting yourself feel that, there's a shaky energy that's in movement around your sternum. That's fantastic. That's the energy in movement. That's a healing response that goes deeper than the emotion. But usually the emotion is our springboard to the energy. And it does take that great feeling of vulnerability that you just allowed yourself to have with us and with yourself. And so if you remember when we started out on the call, one of the things that I said to you was there are sensations we are afraid to let ourselves feel. And those are the sensations that bring us to the feeling of aliveness. And for you, Lynn, this was such a beautiful demo example. Thank you so much for doing it for us, because ultimately, what you're feeling now is this shaky feeling in your sternum, which is actually the heart chakra opening. And there's something, you know, that interests me quite a bit about your theme here of high, high demand for achievement and accomplishment, and that there's a sense of value that seems to rest upon those external achievements that probably comes from your childhood. And that's just a guess on my part because I don't really know you at all. But I don't know if that resonates or not, but I think that may be something that might contribute.
Yeah.
So how are you doing right now with having shared all of this? And then I want to open it up for feedback or comments to other people who are witnessing this.
Well, I was going to do some other work tonight, but I'll probably meditate after. So I could just, yeah.
I think that sounds lovely to give yourself a few minutes of meditation and just to really drink in and feel what happened for you just now. Thank you for being our demo.
Thanks.
Yeah. Any observations or comments from people? So what I will say about this is this process that I just did with Lynn is the process that Angelica has been learning, that Lynn has been implementing in her practice, that Janet's been implementing. This is the process of transpersonal energy healing, this little demo, and how potent and how quick it is to get to the core, that helps us get to the core of our issues. And this can be learned because this is what I'm teaching to all of the people in the Emotional Energy Mastery module that Rita Marie has so beautifully woven into the NEPT training program now. So those of you who are in NEPT or considering NEPT, it will be included in your program, or those of you who might want to just take this as a standalone module, the Emotional Energy Mastery module includes three courses that teach you how to do what I was just doing with Lynn. So any questions about this or any other comments or feedback about, I'd love to know how this might have touched you, those of you who were observing it.
Well, I was just impressed. Lynn was so willing to just dive right into the emotional energy. It's impressive. Most people who do this work, they do a lot of storying first before they get down into the energy beneath the story. And I thought Lynn just dove right in. So that really was neat to see. Not that common.
Yeah. Yeah, very brave. Yeah. Anybody else?
For the 3+ years I've been working with you, I'm always amazed at how easily this flows through a self-resolution, actually. And there's always such a release and so much gain from it when the session is over. I'm always amazed and so grateful that I have enough of this under my belt from working with you that I can do it with clients and see it happen. It's a thrilling opportunity. It's like watching a child you're teaching to do math or read. When they finally get it, it's like, yes,
yeah.
And they got it on their own. It's amazing, and I love the work. Thank you.
Beautiful. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, Janet. You know, this is, I think one of the things that you're referring to also here or referencing is that essential self, right? Because Lynn, within you is this inner wisdom, right? That was able to access immediately what you needed to bring about your own healing. So this is one of the things that we teach in this work is how to access that essential self, that inner wisdom, the soul that is you. Because that wisdom is always there, but we have not been taught how to access it. And it's actually quite simple. It's not complicated because it's natural to us. It's a natural part of us. What's unnatural are those learned voices, those judgmental voices, those restrictive voices. That's what's, you know, not natural to us. Anybody else? Any comments or questions on this?
Can you hear me? This is Rita Marie.
Yeah.
You can? Okay, because it's a little windy here. So I just want to really comment on the what I've seen, similar to what, you know, both Janet and Angelica said about, you know, the kinds of results we see, and really appreciate Lynn being so vulnerable and really going into that pain. And so many times we're afraid to go into the pain. And it's when you're willing to go into the pain and then be able to come out of it again that it lessens the pain, the memory of the pain and the trauma in the body. And that's what you teach so beautifully and demonstrate so beautifully. So I just wanted to say, I know you mentioned that there's the emotional healing stuff within the NEPT program, but there are programs that we're offering as part of that for others who are able to, you know, to do for themselves. And we'll be definitely getting you information. And as an ERC people, you'll have a special offer for that. But one of the things, two things I highly recommend. One is the emotional, the trauma, the energy of trauma that you guys all know. You guys all know Kimberly, but she's going to be doing a two webinar series on really working through that trauma stuff. And then Laura's amazing, what is it, like 8 weeks long, the Dancing with Defenses. I love that course because it's basically teaching you how to identify the personality you developed as a defense to something that happened to you probably during your early years, and be able to have coping mechanisms and strategies and skills. So I just recommend that when we open those up for registration, that you keep your ears and eyes open if this is something that's of interest to you.
Yeah, thank you, Rita Marie. Yes, Kimberly's Energy and Physiology of Trauma class is coming up pretty quick, and that is such a core essential piece because there's so much clarity that will come to you, not only about your own history and how it's affecting your current life, health, and health, but also those of you who are working with clients. It's going to give you tremendous insight into how to identify when you've got a client who is a trauma survivor and what to do with them and about them and for them to support them in their practice. And just from her brief little two sessions, you're going to get a wealth. I mean, I've gone to that course, I don't know, three times now, because every time she teaches it, I get another piece of subtlety that just fits like a hand in glove with this energy work.
You see a bag? I had a bag with dates and a jar of almond butter.
What's that?
I think that was Scott. Marie, just so you know, I muted you.
Oh, okay. So, and then just the last thing I want to say was, Marie made a really great point about the vulnerability of emotions. And again, it's these sensations that that we're not used to feeling, that we have labeled as dangerous or not okay in some way, when all they are sensations, physiological sensations that we married with a belief that said, oh no, this is not okay to feel. But what actually really happens when we cry or when we, you know, I like to ask people, you know, like, do you think if somebody never laughed that they would maybe have a bit of a problem? But we never think about that with crying, right? Like, why is crying any different? It's just energy in movement. Laughter and tears are simply energy in movement. And energy in movement is healthy. We want it to be in movement. We don't want it to be stuck or stagnant. And we want that full range of emotional energy and not to be attached to it. We also don't want to loop in that emotional energy, but we want it to be able to be in movement and ebb and flow when and as it needs to release. So we've got about 10 more minutes. If there are any, I think I'd like to just go around and offer some closing comments about how this was for you. So Paula, would you get us started again? Any closing remarks?
I just appreciated being given the opportunity to kind of sink into the the experience of connecting with a particular pattern that has been recently a big part of my life.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you were able to do that, to drop in and give it some attention. That's beautiful. And if you or anyone else, by the way, need more support, I do offer individual sessions. So feel free to, I'll put my email in the chat for you if you'd like to contact me, any of you. Okay, thank you, Paula. And Janet, any closing remarks?
As usual, I came up with a couple of more things that just kind of popped in my mind and connected. So I always appreciate being on a call and this process. It's always beneficial. Thank you.
Do you want to share any of the insights that you had?
Sure. It was the third chakra, you know, so the sacral chakra, and that's where my little muffin top is. And as I was touching it, it was telling me how it was there to protect me. And I'm an emotional eater. So when I get really stressed about things, I'll clean the plate and then wonder where the food went. Mm. So when I have those things come up, I know that that's what's happening, but I hadn't really done that cellular level before, mm-hmm. that piece. So that was very deep. That
great.
To work with that.
Thank you, Janet. Okay, Angelica.
There we go. Yeah, I'm just, I, like I said, you know, earlier, I just want to keep doing this work, not only for myself, but watching it with other people, but, you know, with another healer and another client, because I think our culture is a little bit deranged about emotions. And for me, actually embodying my emotions has been the only thing that has got me moving forward in a way I want to go in my life, ironically. I like love being here, and I just like to always come back to the work.
Great. Thank you, Angelica. Beautiful. Diana.
I appreciate everything that you guys do here. I appreciate what Kimberly does. It's been a very interesting year and a half almost 2 years now since I first started my first program with Dr. Rita Marie. Thank you, Dr. Rita Marie. I do have something.
You're welcome. It's been
a great 2 years. I've grown a lot. Probably more in those last 2 years than the first 64. But I had a little moment come back to me as I was massaging my little sore spot. And it dawned on me when I was a very small child, my mother used to do Reiki on me. And I had that same feeling of release that went. And I was like deja vu. I'm right back in my little child body. And I remember, you know, there was a time when I grew up, and then when I had children, I used to do the laying on of hands for my sick babies when they were hurting. You know what? It never dawned on me to do it myself. I just realized what I did was Reiki on myself.
Yeah, beautiful.
Or laying on the hands. They call it Reiki. It's basically just, it's the non-fancy kind.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm here because of Reiki. My mother went for treatments on her uterus. And they fixed her uterus all right, and surprise, here I am. I'm the kind of the product of that. So she was very, very late in life and getting ready to go through menopause. And she resorted to that as a alternate instead of a hysterectomy.
Yeah.
They fixed her uterus all right.
Yeah, good.
But anyway, that was, it just, like I said, I thought, why in the world did I never think of doing that on myself? It was so effective.
Yeah, it is.
I remember my mother doing it, and it wouldn't matter what the kind of pain it was, within 15 to 20 minutes, it would be gone.
It's amazing, isn't it? That's great.
It's that human touch. So
that's right.
What I was doing, though. That was the release that I felt, was that same kind of magic. It's gone.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing that back to me.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you, Diana.
For God bringing that back to me. So thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
Perfect opportunity. Thank you for it.
Yeah. Okay, Sarah.
I am really, when you led us through saying it's okay to feel sad, mad, scared, and then you're safe. I literally felt that rock hard tissue in my shoulder soften, like for a layer or two, right?
Wow, beautiful.
Yeah, and I also super appreciate whatever questions you were leading Lynn on through, I was asking myself.
Great.
And that was very, very, really good for me. It just, everything became very clear.
Great. You might want to listen to the replay again then, so you can take a little bit more time with yourself to do that, because it really will take you deep. So that's good. I'm glad that you did that. Good job, Sarah. Thank you. Joseph, anything you want to add?
I've had my neck has been a problem for a long time, one way or another. And that's where I must have my hand on it. And when we did a release, I kind of almost melted. Sarah had to wake me back up. I felt it, and I was going like, it's hard to feel an absence, sort of, but something went away.
Nice.
So it felt very, very good. Thank you.
I'm so glad. That's great. Thank you, Joseph. All right, Susanna.
Well, I liked the connection that Diana made with Reiki, because I have done Reiki, and a lot of the things as they were being felt really did feel like Reiki. Mm-hmm. I also realized that I deal with my emotions largely through logic and observation, which has actually worked pretty well for me, but there's a lot about this method that I know nothing about. So it was very eye-opening and very interesting to me.
Great. Thanks, Susanna. Okay, Lynn, closing remarks. Oh, let's do Linda Buer, and then we'll go to Lynn Lowe.
I just had the opportunity to listen to that part of my body that wanted to talk, mm-hmm. because it's actually been doing this for the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just thankful that it had this space to do that in.
Great. Thank you, Lynn. Other Lynn, for a demo.
I guess, I don't know. I mean, I've connected to my emotions a lot, and I still have addiction issues, you know? So I sometimes wonder, well, so what else do I need? You know, like, I think maybe it's just being consistent with a spiritual practice and being, like when you said it, the healing, I don't feel like I'm healed or anything. You know what I'm saying? I just feel, you're saying, I'm trying to understand.
So Lynn, I think for you, if you take the Dancing with Defenses course, you would really get to the core understanding of the emotional eating addiction for yourself. That course goes really deep into the core issues. And it's like Rita Marie was saying, it's actually a 10-week course. It's a long course, 2 hours each class. It's a very profoundly deep going to the core of each of our personality patterns, why and how we developed the particular traits that we do. It's no accident that you are this real overachiever. And it has to do with your family of origin, and it has to do with our subconscious holding of those memories in our system. So there is, you can get to the bottom of it. It won't take forever, but it takes the right kind of therapeutic process to get to it. And the good news is we do have that course now. And so I hope that you will take a look for that when it comes around in the spring. We will start offering that course in the spring. If you go to the calendar of classes page on the Transpersonal Energy Healing Counseling, transpersonalenergyhealing.com, if you go to transpersonalenergyhealing.com, there's a calendar of classes page that has the schedule of all the classes. So you'll be able to see when that course starts this year in a few months down the road. I hope you'll take it. I think it would be incredible for you.
Okay.
You're welcome. Okay, Sandra.
Hi, I'm just jealous that I missed the first part of it. I would love to listen to the replay.
Yes, you'll get the replay for sure.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Judy.
There's my mute button. I confess I've been a little bit out of it here. I've had a headache going on, and I had the cat distracting me and all. I'm looking forward to listening to the replay myself. So I don't know what to say beyond that.
That's okay. When you listen to the replay, it might help you with the headache, actually, to do that process where you're feeling the energy of the headache. It can very often help release that. So I would give that a try as you listen. So thank you. Okay. Rita Marie, any closing remarks?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
My battery's about to go. Yes. So I just want to thank you for an amazing session. I can see that everybody got a lot out of it. Just a lot of, I think it, for me, it's always great to hear that we're not alone, right? That we have these emotions and we can not let them paralyze them, right? So I feel like, you know, your work is one of the things that's helped me, and all the work I've done in the past has helped me to not allow not good enough to paralyze me, but to allow it to energize me, allow it to get me out there and really work at what I'm passionate about. And I just want to encourage everybody else for that. And what I've seen so many times with your work and the work you've done with others in the groups that I've been in is that some of these physical symptoms are related to these emotional traumas and things stored in the body. So
yes.
I just don't want anybody to overlook it, which is why I brought you in. I brought Kimberly in. I really encourage us all. Yeah, nutrition's super important. Yes, movement's super important. So is meditation and all the rest. But what's really super important is the integration of all of it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for being here.
Thank you, too, Rita Marie. It's such an honor to be involved with your program. It's so excellent. So, all right, everybody. Have a
great
rest of your night.
Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you.